This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Filmish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
Hello, you are listening to the Filmish Show. I'm, of course, Sean Walsh, joined as always by Mark Simmons.
Yo.
Coming up on today's episode, we've got movie news.
Movie news.
Followed by Mark's DVD review. We'll be moving on to, actually, this week, box office top three. And then we'll be speaking to Danny Ward, giving us his movie pitch of the week. And we'll be finishing with The Hateful Three, with our special guest, actor Forrest Goodluck. Forrest Goodluck, who's made his debut in The Revenant.
Wow, what a debut.
Yeah, with Leo DiCap, and his new film is called The Miseducation of Cameron Post. And it's directed by, now what we do is we have a little sheet here with a bit of information.
Right.
And the director, I just wanted to be careful about how to pronounce her name. Her first name is Desiree.
Yeah.
And then her last name is Akhavan. So how would you?
Akhavan.
Anyway, I YouTubed it. Because you could go on YouTube to find out how to pronounce words. And so here it is. Do you reckon this is right?
Desiree Akhavan.
Oh, I like that.
Akhavan.
Oh, no, you didn't say that quite right.
Desiree Akhavan.
Got to get that
I don't know if I'm meant to be saying it like her.
You?
So you're in a new film with The Miseducation of Cameron Post. Directed by Desiree Akhavan.
So
I don't know why it's
does that
not...
Sound, is that an Indian woman?
It sounds it.
Is that because this woman's Indian? Well, is this? Is
she's
it,
not in. I'm, no, I don't think she is.
Desiree's not Indian, no.
If anyone was wondering, what's it like in the sort of pre-production meeting, filmish? Is Desiree Indian? Right, okay.
Oh, is that her there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can see her. You can't. She could be mixed.
Could be.
She could be. Okay. Why is that?
Because it's the
she
picture,
could be, but I don't want to say no, she's not.
Pictures
she
come
is.
Up and it's not solved the problem. Surely there's some sort of bio. I'm a bit nervous. We're going to get him on and I'm going to go, your new film directed by
Desiree Akhavan.
I'm just going to have to use that. Shall I use that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
what I'll do.
Do you reckon you'll notice?
It's going to be seamless.
Oh, her parents are Iranian. So no, she's not Indian. Might be brought up in India.
Yeah. Okay.
Clutching at straws.
She's from New York.
I think it's just the woman that recorded the thing is Indian. She might not even be Indian. Can we find out who recorded that?
Most of the time when you do YouTube a word, you get maybe an American.
Yeah.
Right.
So save it for the podcast.
Save it for the podcast where myself and Mark catch up on air. Well, our regular listeners will know that me and Mark are usually, we're a bit off when we start.
Lethargic.
Lethargic because we've had half a chicken and fries.
It just makes my eyes heavy.
Yeah. Tired is what you mean. What we've done is we've done a little walk after our chicken to try and wake up. I think it's work.
Yeah, I feel like I need to drink this tea.
I feel pumped.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, we've also, we forget this every week, Ryan O'Ryan.
Yes! We've been forgetting one of our favourite sections. We're going to bring it back. I've written it down to remind myself. It's Ryan O'Ryan. Yeah. Where we ask our guest, would you rather have intercourse? Is it?
I think it's intercourse.
Yeah, it's not just going on
think
a date.
It's all the trimmings, mate.
Yeah. With Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. I was talking to someone about this earlier, and they were telling me who they're married to and who they're with. So Ryan Gosling is with Eva Mendes, and...
Eva Mendes?
Yeah, apparently. The older... She's a bit older.
She's a bit older.
A little bit
him.
Older. About 7 years older, yeah.
Seven?
Yeah, he's
more
37.
Than seven,
he's
isn't
37.
It? Ryan Gosling's 37?
Yeah.
Oh, he looks after himself.
He does, doesn't he?
He's
but he's
brilliant.
Still not as good as Ryan Reynolds.
Well, she's 44.
Yeah, yeah. And then Ryan Reynolds is going out with Blake Lively, and my question is... Who would you prefer a threesome
married to,
with?
Married to.
Married to. Who would you prefer a threesome with?
Oh, no, we can't go down.
No, this is just for us. This is just for us.
Oh.
So Gosling. Yeah. So it's basically, is Blake a lot better than Eva to make you want to go with Ryan Reynolds and Blake?
I don't know what Blake looks like.
It's that blonde one from the Adeline thing.
Adeline?
Age of Adeline.
What?
Age of Adeline, where she's doesn't age. She gets struck by lightning in a car or something and it goes into a river. Have you not seen that film?
No.
We're fine for your picture and then we can you can work
you've
out.
Got that to look forward to, listeners.
Yeah. She's 30. Okay. But how old's Reynolds is 41. Reynolds is 41. He looks good. Come on. 41. He still looks like he's in his 20s.
He does.
That
phenomenal.
Has he had work? Do you reckon he's had work?
No.
That is.
Oh.
That's her. Yeah. So which one? So what? Which threesome? This either Mendes and Gosling, or do you prefer this lady, Blake?
I can't believe we're doing this.
So you've got to decide whether you like Blake or Eva the most. So would that make you then want to cross over to Ryan Reynolds just so you can have a threesome with those?
Come on.
Okay, cool.
Was that segment for the podcast?
Well, that might as well be.
Well, we normally catch up. What have you...
Well, something I noticed, right? No one ever wants to sit next to me on trains.
Well, you're big.
What do you mean?
You're...
intimidating.
Well, you're tall.
Why is that going to stop anyone?
It's just, I think you've got to make a quick decision when you get on a train, and you're just not going to want to talk, sit next to the big guy.
Because I had to sit next to a girl earlier.
Yeah.
On the way here.
You had to?
Yeah, there was no other seat, so I sat next to this girl.
Okay, no, but you still didn't have to. You chose to sit down next to that girl.
Of course I did.
You filthy, filthy man.
What are you
man.
Talking about?
You could have just stood up.
What?
You could have stood up.
No, why would I sit up? Why would I stand
because
up?
Because you wanted to sit next to
but
that
I sat
poor
next,
girl.
Mate, she hated me.
Of course. So anyone that sit... Okay, do you know what I had? On my way to America, the whole of the plane, all the seats have been taken up, apart from the one next to me. And I thought, I have smashed life. I am the luckiest man right now on the whole planet.
Yeah, then someone comes along.
Some dickhead. Then just walks towards me. Hi there, sorry. Oh, for fuck. There's nothing worse.
No, it you're so excited as
do
well.
Know, do you know what, actually, do you know what one of the worst things? Okay, someone, this is worse than someone sitting next to you on a tube. Or train. You think you've got the sauna to yourself, and you're just there like, oh, sweat out, this is lovely. And then you just look up, oh, here he comes.
Oh, what's he doing? Oh. No one's going to want to see that.
I walked straight into that.
Oh, all over you, is it?
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so she...
But do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not many people go in saunas, Sean, I don't think.
What do you mean not many people go in saunas?
People don't go to saunas, do they?
Well, no. But it's not a weird thing.
But that's not something
they go to a gym, they use a sauna.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's horrible.
And
yeah.
you think, oh, this is right, and then you look up.
Yeah.
And there he is.
What's your idea?
And there he is.
Wanking
jizzing all over the door. How am I meant to run the door handle? He's got all this bloody jizz all over the door handle. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Sweat and the jizz.
Oh,
it's worse than the steam room, because all the jizz then turns into steam.
And then your
pores are open, and then not only do you breathe it in, but it gets into your skin. And so... Your arms are pregnant.
Your
jizz in your system. Jizz skin.
You've taken this way too far.
You're listening to the Film-ish show. It's gone down the wrong avenue this afternoon. Whenever you're listening to it.
Yeah, at night.
It's up to you. The movie news. Well, let's finish what we were saying before Jizzgate.
What I think it is.
Oh, yeah, sat next to the girl.
I opened the Sun and the Star because I have to research for news.
So you looked like an idiot.
And she went, I swear she was faking. She went, oh, looked like she was going to be sick, and went, oh no, I just realised that this train's going to be going backwards. I can't do that. It makes me feel sick. So she went and moved somewhere else down the train. So she was going forward. She's made that up, hasn't she?
That's hilarious.
Who gets on a train? If that makes you sick, you're going to...
Were you attracted to her?
No, she was pleasant.
If you are listening to the show, you are pleasant. But Mark wasn't attracted to you. That doesn't mean that you are unattractive. It means that Mark wasn't attracted to you.
But she put me off her because... Someone being sick isn't attractive, is it? Yeah.
Let's do movie news.
Movie news.
Right, okay, lots of big news. Exciting film news.
Excellent.
Exciting movie news.
Movie news.
Okay, Bill and Ted.
I've seen the picture.
Bill and Ted 3. It's going to happen. Excellent.
Mate, life is so good at the moment.
What is this?
Karate Kid series is coming out. It's the 80s, baby.
It's amazing.
I've got a real boner for the 80s.
God.
I love it, mate. I absolutely love it. It might be early 90s, actually.
Baby.
It's Bill and Ted in the early 90s, might be.
Oh, God.
That's so good. But what are they going to do? So they're going to go through history as old people. They are history.
That's brilliant. It's great.
What's
they're
it
doing
say,
a so, yeah, they're going to reprise their role. Third installment has been in the works since 2010. That's it. It's confirmed. It's happening.
Have they filmed it yet?
They've said, we are trying to put it together. Bill and Ted was asked about it, the status of the film, and he said, Bill and Ted are still alive. The writers have a story, and we're trying to make it. I think it will make money.
Of course it will.
Look at you.
That is so good. I might rewatch
it. It's called...
Them.
Do you want to know what it's called?
I know, because the producer's just written it.
The listeners don't know. Do you want to know what it's called?
Yes, we do, Sean.
I'll tell you. Bill and Ted Face the Music.
It's just one listener.
It finds the duo still struggling to complete the great work of their life. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the music part of it.
Well, that's excellent!
Were they trying to be a rock band?
They were, yeah, dudes in a band.
Dude. Do you reckon they still talk like that?
What were they called?
Wild Stallions.
Wild Stallions, yeah!
Excellent!
Do-do-do-do-do!
Cool. That's great, isn't it?
Wayne's World 3, that'd be good.
Wayne's World 3.
That'd be good,
wouldn't
it?
Well, there are loads of other sequels that would be good. We could just do this forever. Ghostbusters 3, I think, would be particularly good.
It wasn't, was it?
Well, that wasn't the third. That was a reboot. Got that wrong. Star Wars fans have started a petition for a new Princess Leia. They want...
What do you mean?
My mind's gone blank. They want...
What do you mean?
Meryl Streep to take over the role of Princess Leia for episode 9.
They can't do that.
No, I think they were just going to kill her off. Kill off the character.
I thought they were going to do it in the last one.
Yes. I think what will have happened, surely, is this: that she will have been killed off in between 8 and 9.
And you
start 9 with her dead. Now, Helen Mirren wants stunt performers to be eligible for Oscars. I imagine that's for stunt performing. Can't have a stunt performer eligible for...
Best actor.
Best costume. She says there really should be an Oscar for stunt work. These guys are incredible, and they're so careful and so professional, and they're artists. They do amazing things.
Jack and Tom Cruise...
They're artists, are they?
What about if...
Especially if you have to replicate what someone else is meant to be doing. You're not an art... That'd be like if... You've got a painting, and then I've had to... I've not finished this book.
You haven't thought it through, have you?
Okay.
So it's like a painter. You're not wanting to paint it in case you get paint on you, so you get someone else to do it. But it's your idea.
Okay. Tracing the drawing. It's like, so the artist has done it,
yeah.
But the artist... Because the actor playing the art... No, now it's getting confused. Wait, hang on. I've got it. So it's the artist, right?
Are our roles reversed?
Wait. No, I've got it. The artist has drawn a painting.
Yeah.
Right? Drawn a painting. Probably painted.
Painted
a painting.
By numbers.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we didn't get the footage of the artist painting the painting. So now we need someone to pretend... that they've painted it. So they have to do that with their arm. They have to wave it about like they're painting
but
with
they're
a paintbrush.
But they're not an artist.
But they're not an artist. They're not but actually
they,
doing
but,
it.
But the actual spunters? The stunt...
Spunters.
The stunt guys.
Yeah.
But they do it.
Yeah,
that's
but he
the
is. But he is doing it. There's just
he's
no paint.
Doing,
there's just no
well,
paint.
He's not doing he's, it then.
Maybe they should be. I think they should, they deserve... So hang on, what are the actors doing?
So when the, what happens when an actor...
Go back. What were you going to say?
That's not stupid, I don't think.
I'm not trying to like
yes, you are.
Catch you out.
Yes, you are, because you're making me say it again.
Yeah, because you didn't say it. Let's not say it again.
So what happens when actors...
You can't say something again.
I can't when you're talking, can I?
Can you?
So... What happens if the actor does his own stunts? Can he be eligible for the Oscar? Because Tom Cruise does his own stunts, and they're pretty impressive.
So Tom Cruise could win Best Actor and Best Stuntman?
Yeah.
And the other stuff... Do you reckon
Helen Mirren knows she's got a role coming up, and she reckons she might be able to get an Oscar for it?
She could do the splits. She could do the splits over two buildings with a big fall. Imagine that. More movie news.
Really? There's loads.
Yeah. Marvel heroes won't survive Avengers Infinity War. This is the news that it looks like it's going to be the last film. Not Infinity War.
But Infinity is forever, so that war's forever, so they won't die.
The next unnamed Marvel film, which is apparently the last one, the fourth one.
The Avengers.
What am I saying?
Marvel.
Sorry. The Avengers. Chris Evans won't sort of reprise Captain America.
He won't?
No, this is
so
saying
he's
probably over.
Is that a little... Are they throwing us a little bone that...
He can't just carry on doing that. Surely, if you're an actor, you get bored.
I don't know, mate.
Character of the
ka-ching.
But there's enough ka-ching, isn't there? Guess the actors that can do... Don't look at the screen. Guess the actors that can do their own stunts.
What do you mean? They all can.
Oh, like they do.
Jesus. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
No.
Yeah, he can.
No.
I bet he does do them.
No.
He must do them.
No. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Angelina Jolie.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jason Statham, Jackie Chan. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Jackie Chan's the classic.
He is the famous one.
Well, they're all famous.
Yeah. Okay. Steven Spielberg doesn't think... We'll move on with the last one. But I think this is big. I want to talk to you about this.
Okay.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah.
Netflix. You know that.
Yeah.
Spielberg doesn't think Netflix movies should be eligible for Oscars.
Doesn't.
That is controversial. You'd think that a young Spielberg back in the day in the 70s,
yeah,
he would have been all for that because he would have been, because he was one of the new wave directors. It was about things being new and done the sort of young way.
Yeah.
But now he's sort of showing his, for me, they're sort
grumpy
of showing his age. He's become a traditionalist. I've said that wrong.
So he
traditionalist.
I think films should be in the cinema.
The acclaimed director responded to the idea of films like Mudbound and Ava DuVernay's documentary, 13th, being Oscar nominated. He said, once you commit to a television format, you're a TV movie. You certainly, if it's a good show, deserve an Emmy, but not an Oscar. I don't believe films that are just given token qualifications at a couple of theatres for less than a week should qualify for the Academy Award nomination.
Oh, so some
heavy words from Spielberg there.
Some Netflix films do go into cinemas. Was he saying?
Yeah, they do. They just like make a little pop up and say hello.
I don't know. That did you watch that one with Ben Stiller and
loved it?
Adam Sandler,
Emma Thompson.
I
can't remember the name. We'll find out the name. Natalie will know. Our own personal IMDb.
Something and other.
Natalie's just going. Why are you guessing? Because Natalie's just going to find out.
Well, I'm filling the air while she's doing it. The Meyerowitz story.
Yeah, stories.
Meyerowitz. The Meyerowitz story.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
what
and
about
other,
it? Yes, that was on
Netflix. That's a good film. So that should be eligible, I think.
Well, hang on. Sorry, the question is not should good film like.
But that was Netflix.
Yes, but I remember you're going, yeah, but that was good, so that should be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's not going, oh, if it's rubbish, it shouldn't be, if it's on Netflix. Obviously.
No, but my point is, it's a good film, so it should be eligible. Like, they do produce
good.
So you
changed
films.
Your mind?
I didn't think I made the decision.
Well, when I first brought it up, you said, oh, no, I think film should be in cinemas.
Oh, well, no, I do. I think that one should have gone into cinemas.
Okay, we're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
There you go. Tweet us at Sean Wall, at Big Bird Sheeran. We want to know whether you think films should be eligible for Oscars.
Yeah.
If they're on Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I don't like Amazon Prime.
I think they should, because they're a film.
Yeah.
They've got the budget of a big screen movie, and I think it's old-fashioned to think that they shouldn't. It is the future. I don't know why I did a voice for that.
The Meyerowitz stories were shown at the Curzon, apparently.
There you go.
Art House, is that? Is that Art House place, usually?
Yeah, look, let's go for it. Stop mumbling, mate.
What?
Just stop mumbling.
Whoa.
Just, you got to snap up.
Do I?
The chicken's kicked in. You're just going. Let's have a song, okay? Go for a song. We'll come back for the song. We'll have a song and it'll be DVD.
Can I do it quickly? Can I just say one more thing?
What is going on?
Can I say one more thing, Sean? Karate Kid, the series on YouTube.
Taste for the danger.
Stranger by Madonna from the film Austin Powers, Spy That Me.
Yeah, lovely.
I actually watched Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery last night.
I love Austin Powers.
Loved it.
Really good. When I was at
school. I've got your sherbet. Do you remember that bit? Christian Slater, when he has to go and get some orange sherbet.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that bit.
It's absolutely nuts, isn't it?
It's bonkers. It's really silly. It's just an hour and a half of silliness.
What's Miles doing now?
Mike Myers. I don't know, he did that film that was a flop and I never saw called Love Guru.
Yeah, I didn't.
Obviously, Shrek, all the Shreks. Doesn't have to do anything, does he?
Wayne's World 3, that would be good.
Austin Powers 4, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, what would you do in it?
What do you mean? What would I, why? Because I said I'd be up for that, you've gone.
Actor.
All right.
Would you want to be in it?
Yeah, I'd be his nemesis. Well, or Dr. Evil's like, hairy cousin. Or something. Anyway.
So Karate Kid, before you cut me off earlier.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, so this is what you're saying. What is it? So tell us all. Karate Kid, go on.
Right, so...
Come on. Just give it one more go. I won't do it. Okay,
so Karate Kid, new series.
Right. Quickly tell us. I will let you.
No, you won't.
I actually will now.
No,
I will.
You won't.
So new Karate Kid.
God, he's crying.
We can't just do this.
I'm not going to be able to say that now. All right, no, go on. No, I'll stand away. I'll stand away. Go on.
So the new Karate Kid series.
Right. Okay.
I'm not laughing anymore.
Right, new Karate Kid series.
No.
Tell me, hands up here. Come on, people are listening.
What are you talking about?
They're going to change over to someone else's quickly.
The newest trailer came out, and it's a proper feature trailer. You really get a vibe of what's going to happen. It looks like Johnny's going to be like Mr. Miyagi, so the bad guy in the first one.
Yeah.
It looks like he's taking that role because he beats up a load of young kids to save
someone. So he's now a good guy.
Yeah. I think Johnny has a son, and they don't get on, and I think Daniel's going to end up coaching him, but I think he's going to be the evil kid. So I think it's like a role reversal.
Well, hang on. Karate Kid's son.
No. Johnny's the bad guy.
Right.
So the bad guy's son.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with his dad. I think the Karate Kid in the first one,
yeah,
Daniel LaRusso is going to coach him. But I think it's going to be quite deep. I think it's going to be he's going to think he's doing the right thing, Daniel LaRusso, but he's actually coaching the bad kid. And I think it's all role reverse. It's going to be amazing.
Mark's excited. But it's called Cobra Kai. It's on YouTube Red, out May 2nd, 2000.
And YouTube Red this year. YouTube Red apparently you can only get in America.
So, is that true?
Yeah, at the moment I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm going to have to go to America for. So it's 10 episodes. So how many weeks?
Burn
it,
you'll be fine.
I need to watch it.
All right, it's time for...
So excited.
It's time for DVD review.
80s,
DVD
baby.
Review. DVD 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 review.
He's spat everywhere.
Oh no! It's David.
Oh my god! You spat everywhere. That's the most you've ever put into that.
I went for it. I'm gonna have to get some deodorant. Not deodorant. What am I? What? Detergent.
Detergent. Oh yeah, some alcoholics. Alcoholic spray.
Just get
spray.
On with the thing.
Stop having a go.
Come on, David Davido.
So what's the commuter, Liam Neeson?
Come on, grow
I think that's gonna be every week now.
Come on,
there's a echovan.
Come on, that's how you pronounce it.
That's
how you pronounce it. Come on, come on.
So Liam Neeson plays Michael McCauley, an insurance salesman who takes the same train to the same train journey to work every day. Oh, I've written so much here.
Good. Well done.
This seems a pleasant experience, as before he is in the train, he's seen getting on with all the passengers. On this particular day, Michael is fired from his job and then approached by a mysterious woman asking him to find a passenger on the train in exchange for £100,000.
£100,000, baby!
Should you do something potentially horrible in exchange for a wad of cash? Liam Neeson must have thought to himself just before agreeing to make this movie.
Very nice.
It's all right, isn't it?
Very nice.
It's
got meaning.
She says he has to put a tracker in the passenger's bag. I guess that's in case they get hungry.
Enjoyed that. Enjoyed that very much.
So what should he do? Masturbation was out of the question because she told him he wasn't allowed to get off.
Okay.
Put it down there. When his life is threatened, he has to decide what to do. Being that he was an insurance salesman, I'm sure he's got it covered. That's a bit strong. I think four marks Immons out of 10.
Oh, you really didn't like it?
Well, you know,
because the trailer made it look like a good junk movie.
Yeah, I probably did like it. It was ages ago I watched it.
Well, why have you only given it 4 marks Immons out of 10 then?
I gave it 5 originally, but
what's happened? You're saying
since then I haven't remembered it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not.
But that's just your fault.
It's all right. It's fine.
Okay.
It's a Liam Neeson film.
Yeah.
I love Taken, but.
Is it better than Taken 2?
Nah.
All right. Get the chickens back. It's time for the box office top 3. That was DVD review. Now for the UK box office. Top 3.
UK oh my
box
god!
Office. Top 3.
Lift off!
You're gonna have to put the tracker in his bag. I'm not hungry. Help me!
Oh my god!
I've got jizz in my arms!
Oh my god!
UK box office top 3. Okay, so you'll be surprised that actually Ready Player One, Spielberg's new big blockbuster,
yeah,
isn't in the top 3.
But it should be.
Well, it will be, and it'll be number 1. And the reason it isn't is because it was out on Friday.
So do you want to talk about that last?
By the time this goes out, it will, of course, inevitably be number 1. So let's just go down. We've not discussed number 2. So number 3.
Yeah, we did.
And I already forgot.
I don't know, actually.
Anyway, look, Black Panther, number 3.
Yeah, we spoke about those. It's still in the top. That's because it's good.
Yep. Bit of trivia, always fun. My favourite thing about film
is trivia.
It's trivia.
All
to
right.
be honest, I love watching a film, and then that's unbelievable.
What?
This just in.
News just in. News just in. It's just come in.
What was that?
That's a new jingle. Let's try it.
It was like a you were really trying to do a wrestler's thing. Oh my god!
Oh my god! News just come in. He's in it with a chair.
Okay. All right. Calm down. Wow. Oh my god. Look at that. So
what?
Well, ignore it. We've got the old box office free there. We'll get rid of that.
For god.
Last week's was Black Panther.
I told you.
Pacific Rim Uprising and Peter Rabbit. It's now number 3. I've not seen this yet. I'm going to. I'm sorry. You probably wanted to know what I thought or Mark thought. I know Mark's not going to have seen it. Isle of Dogs. The new Wes Anderson film is at number 3, taking in 2.2 million overall in the UK box office.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about stop motion movies? Do you know what this is about?
Wes Anderson. Hang on, for the listeners that wouldn't know, what's a stop? What's one of those?
Well, no, it's all right.
What do you call
Wallace
it?
And Gromit.
Oh, okay.
That.
Clay.
Fantastic Fox.
Not Clay. Plasticine.
We could do it. We could do it with anything. You could do stop motion. You could do stop motion with these pens.
All right.
It's just about, you know how it works, don't you? You take a picture of that, then you move it. You take another picture.
Oh, like an old flick book.
Yes, that's stop motion.
Oh, well, it's
an old flick book
it?
Is actually what a film
it's
is.
Old fashioned.
Yes, it's very old fashioned, and that's part of its sort of quirky. Wes Anderson did. Did you see Fantastic Mr. Fox?
No.
I'm surprised.
But I saw the other Wes Anderson one.
Which one?
No. The one in the hotel. That's not.
Yeah, that is where.
Yeah, but it's not stop motion.
No, but it's another one of his films.
Yeah.
So would you go and see Isle of Dogs? Oh my god! Just
if you tell me it's going to be good, I'll go watch it.
Oh, it's in a number three. What? If you like Wes Anderson films, you'll like that probably. Yeah.
What's it about?
What?
What's it about?
Well, it's called Isle of Dogs. I think there's some controversy with it due to something it's like set in Japan. And some people think that they're a sort of racist representation of Japan.
What? Is that serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's that got to do anything?
What do you mean? What?
They're racist towards dogs.
I think there are also people in it, and those people are Japanese, and that's where the problem is coming from.
Why is that a problem? It shouldn't be a problem, Sean.
But because of the way that the puppets have been.
Oh.
And now it all kicks into Mark's head.
Oh.
So that's Isle of Dogs at number three. Yeah. I just saw on the internet. You never know, but the internet's not reality, is it? But it's set in a dystopian near future. The story follows Atari, a young boy who lives in a society afflicted by a mysterious illness. The dogs are blamed, and as a result, all canines are outcast to a remote island of rubbish. Set in Japan.
Atari. Did you have an Atari at school?
No, my first console was a PS1.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's got him a good one.
Well,
it took a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in at number two...
Amiga.
In at number two, this is shot Amiga, just saying consoles. Sure. Master System.
Atari ST, yeah, that was the first one.
So, number two, ready... Mark.
I'm so tired.
My God.
It's just kicking in.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, Ready Player One.
Okay, so, Steven Spielberg does this.
Yeah.
He brings out a big blockbuster, normally accompanied that year by more serious films. So he'll go Schindler's List, Jurassic Park, and then, like... Something like, you know, Munich with what?
just for a second, I thought you meant like Alien versus Predator. They just come together.
What, Schindler's List versus some dinosaurs? Can you imagine? No, so, you know, Spielberg does this. He brings out, it sort of goes between the two. So it goes like Minority Report and then something serious.
So
like
what else, what's he done serious lately? What's the most recent?
He just did The Post, which we both reviewed on the show.
Yeah,
so that was only a few months ago. So you got The Post, and then bang, you go Ready Player One, and he seems to do that. That seems to be his
clever,
thing.
Isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's clever, but...
For me, Sean.
Right, Ready Player One, wait, go on.
No, yeah, tell him what it's about.
So what it is, basically, set in the future. When is it? It's like...
2040.
Like that. And what it is, when the creator of a virtual reality world called the Oasis dies, he releases a video in which he challenges all Oasis users to find his Easter egg, which will give the finder his fortune. So, Willy Wonka.
Yes.
It's Willy Wonka Without the Deaf. It's the Willy Wonka character, the creator of this magical world. Back then it was chocolate with Willy Wonka. Now, can you remember the character's name? I actually can't remember it.
But
In Ready Player One.
Well, the main guy?
The creator of Oasis.
Oh.
Anyway, so he offers up this...
Bob.
Really?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, there you go. So he's playing the Willy Wonka role, and then our main character... goes around and try and find...
So the Oasis is this, like, just this really cool virtual reality where people wear a headgear.
It's where most people live. It's where most people choose to live their life because it's more exciting, it's more enjoyable than reality. Which is basically, you know, you could mirror that with society today. Most people are looking at their phones and taking in social media instead of looking up at what's really out there.
And then telling people on social media what you're doing to try and show yourself as being what you want to be seen as, which is what they do in this, because they can create their own avatar. And then they have to try to... So the first bit
Did you know, could I just say that... I didn't actually know this.
What?
That before his death, Gene Wilder, obviously played Willy Wonka, was approached by Spielberg. who wanted him to appear in the film, but Wilder respectfully declined. That would have been amazing.
Who would he have played? The actual main guy, do you reckon?
I would have thought so.
Yeah, carry on with what
but
you're
he
saying.
He was excellent, though. The main
Mark,
guy.
Mark Rylance, who we've seen in the other Spielberg film.
He was really good.
Bridge of Spies, and of course would have been seen as the father in Dunkirk, who was riding the boat.
Ah.
Do you remember the guy that had the son and they read the boat?
Was that him?
Yes, Mark Rylance, a very famous theatre actor.
He was excellent.
Who's
he was
just decided to turn to movies.
So basically, they have to. The main characters have to go into this virtual reality and they have to try and solve these problems, which is a little bit sort of Die Hard free. Sort of, they get a clue and they've got to try and work it out within this game.
Yes.
And it's my film of the year. I absolutely
all right,
loved
we are
it.
Only in April, but all right.
What do you want me, it's my film of the first 3 months.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, 4 months. No, 3 months. Did you like it?
I did enjoy it. I did think that my overall feeling leaving the film was, this must be amazing through the eyes of a 15-year-old.
Is that why I like it? I loved it, man.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And there's loads of 80s references within the game. So
and we all know you love the 80s, baby.
The 80s, baby.
Oh, God.
So basically, the guy who made the Oasis loved everything 80s.
The character's named James Halliday.
The first computer games, the every like Batman. Like, there's loads of references within the game of these different things, which is great for people our sort of age and older, I think. Like, nice little gems.
Yeah.
But I thought there were loads of twists and turns. It didn't get boring. There was a bit... The first problem they had to solve was this race, this car race that they had to do. So that was a lot of action, and then it just changes gear, right? It's great. It's a mystery. And then they have to go back into the real world.
There's also emotion. I think probably most people that are listening to the show probably would have seen this film by now. But you know, if you like Spielberg, you're going to like this. If you like Willy Wonka, you're going to like this. You like your fast action. Yeah. You're going to like this. And also, it has that thing that Inception has that I noticed during the film, is that you're switching between worlds. So you're switching between reality and then you're switching between the virtual reality. And then sometimes those two get played with. You're not sure which reality you're in. So there's a bit of Inception there.
Yeah.
There seem to be a lot of nods to a lot of films. And especially, I don't know, is this a spoiler?
Spoiler!
That's a spoiler jingle. Please pause, fast forward 15 seconds or whatever it is on your podcast if you don't want to know. That basically, there is a bit where they think they're going to find a key. They're going to find a key in The Shining, in the film The Shining. That, for me, that blew my mind. I thought that was... I was in paradise watching that.
Yeah.
That was incredible. So you get, and you're watching a film, and the characters in the film then go into another film. I've never seen that before. Well,
no.
Maybe I have. It doesn't come to mind, and it's certainly not been as done as well.
No,
not been done as well as
Mate,
it was.
It's superb. I will watch it again. I will
How
watch
many
it again.
What will you give it out of five?
Four and a half. Four and a half.
Four and a half.
Computers.
Let's.
What do you give it?
What would I give it? Four. Yeah, I'll give it four. Four keys out of five. Check it out. Number one is Peter Rabbit, which we've both not seen and we're not going to see. And I can't believe that's... But basically, parents taking their kids to the cinema have got that to number one. Now, we're going to hear a song. It's Playground Love by Air. It's from the film Virgin Suicides.
Thank you.
sun's momentum. I'm on fire on the playground now.
Playground Love. Oh no, that was Air. But no, that was Playground Love by Air. My God, it's that chicken that we had.
I know, man.
Terrible. It's now time for Danny's movie pitch. This is the section where comedian Danny Ward will call in and try and pitch us his movie idea.
Yeah.
Got to be quick because this show is full of content. Hello, Danny.
Hi, guys. You're right.
Danny, just crack on with it. What is your movie pitch?
Well, this week's pitch is the adaptation of my as yet unpublished 2005 novel, Hello Lady. Meet Freddie Trailer, 30, a loner, lonely and alone, an unreliable narrator and most definitely on the spectrum of OCD. Set in bustling London, one day Freddie is on the bus and notices a beautiful woman get off, leaving her mobile phone on the tear behind her. He goes after with it, but he can't get hold of her. She's gone. And it isn't long before she rings the phone and he arranges to meet her.
Yeah.
And he hands the phone back.
That's weird.
But then he realises that he's just missed a vital opportunity. That spontaneous, elusive, magic moment where two strangers are thrust together by fate and he's thrown it away. So after some frantic thought, Freddie does something drastic. He steals a woman's mobile phone from her bag and pretends that he's found it so he can play out the scenario again. But this time he wants to parlay it into a date.
Brilliant.
The knight in shining armour. But he fails again. And he embarks on a deranged mission of theft and return, always trying to improve his technique, always trying to get that elusive second meeting. It's not long before he is self-harming, smacking himself in the eye with a can of baked beans, turning up with a bruised eye, saying he had to fight off a mugger. And when he did, he found their phone on them. Eventually, his family, fearing for his sanity, hold an intervention. Freddie promises not to steal another phone, but guess what? Not long after, he actually does find a phone. Legitimately this time, it's a woman called Sylvia's phone, and he arranges to meet her before she flies away from the country forever. But Freddie's family think he's at it again, and they kidnap him, trying to make him come face to face with his action.
I don't believe
this. And the more he protests his innocence, the more they don't believe him. I found her phone, he says. I really did. Yeah, yeah. But just as he finally manages to convince them, doesn't arrive in time. And in one of the heart-rending moments of the film, we see Sylvia depart on that airline as Freddie just arrives at the airport and misses her. And then, on the way back on the tube, we see him look down into the phone of the person sitting next to him. Cut to black. So he might steal another one.
Yeah, yeah. Got you.
And also, that nicely sets up a sequel, Searching for Sylvia. It's not been written yet.
Okay.
Lack of interest.
Alright, well, you don't know that, because Danny, I'm going to give you the green light on that. I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of that.
I really liked it. It's a bit of a sad ending, but
that's fine. I like a sad end. It's a lure.
Yeah, it's gritty, earthy, you know, art house.
Gritty, earthy,
Curzon.
Art house. It's going to win the Sundance. Thank you, Danny Ward.
Cheers, guys.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Danny Ward there with his movie pitch.
Fubar Radio presents Newsdish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons. If you knew that there was an alien ship about to land,
yeah,
are you worried?
They'd have like new bacteria that we wouldn't be able to handle and wipe out.
But maybe they won't be able to handle our bacteria and it'll wipe them out.
Oh.
Okay, what if they landed in America and you know Trump's going to be the first one to greet them?
Oh no. What do you reckon he would do? Grab their pussy. Sorry, it's weird saying that.
That might be the way they greet each other. Like, that could be normal. Greetings. And they grab it. That's not a pussy.
Stop saying that word. I shouldn't have said that word. Don't say it's weird.
Every Tuesday, Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons. From 12 PM, FUBAR Radio.
So now we've now got, I guess we're very lucky to have on Forrest Goodluck, who you may have seen in The Revenant, which is his debut film. Hello, Forrest.
Hi, how's it going?
Cool, man. I'm Sean. I'm joined here by Mark.
Hiya, mate.
Hey, what's up?
So you've actually woken up very early to come and be on our show for us. We appreciate that very much. Are you okay?
I'm doing all right. I mean, my brain is like half awake right now, so you know, you can basically prod for answers and you'll probably get them. So,
oh, fantastic.
Don't prod too hard.
What time do you normally wake up then?
Not early recently. It's been pretty bad.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm actually like headed out to Montreal to shoot a film soon, so I have to pack up like right after this interview.
Okay, thank you.
But right. so it's good that it was early, because I probably wouldn't have gotten up this early.
That's what we're here for. We're here to help with your career, Forrest. Okay.
Yeah, that's the.
So it's understood that you're a big fan of the show. We know that.
Oh yeah,
you're always listening. I think you might be a bit surprised by our section that you're not the first one to get it. It's a section. It's Ryan or Ryan, and this is the section where we ask our guest, if you had to, it might not have been to had, just if you chose to, who would you rather have sex with, Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds?
Oh man!
Yeah, it's
like
a tough one. It is tough.
Young for how old is Ryan Reynolds?
Oh, we know this.
We found this out earlier.
42, 41.
He's 40. What? 44.
Oh, 44.
Ryan Reynolds is 44, and Ryan Gosling is 37.
Does that matter to you?
Well, that's too. Well, I can't do 40 because that's just like, I don't know. It's not a good look for
okay.
like a 19-year-old.
That's fine.
So
37.
Yeah,
Ryan Gosling.
We have to go with the.
Lovely.
Go with Ryan Gosling, I think.
That's fine.
Nah.
That's absolutely fine. Mark's disappointed because he prefers.
I mean, if we had to, I don't know if I'd particularly enjoy it, but.
I think you'd enjoy it, Ryan.
To do anything to further the career.
Now you're talking! Exactly! There we go.
I'm just saying, like, the managers, agents would probably all endorse it. Just be like, yeah, like, if it furthers your career.
Brilliant. That's what I like. That's how you should
that's
be.
Terrible.
You're going to go far, Forrest. It's going to be brilliant. Get out there, get Montreal, and go and get Gosling. Okay, so tell us about your film, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, with Chloe Grace Moretz, and Sasha Lane, and Jennifer. How did you pronounce that? Jennifer, do you know Jennifer's last name? Ellie?
Jennifer Ely.
Ely, there you go. Tell us all about it. Mark's laughing at me. Why? Hang on a second. What are you laughing at? What?
You can never get names right.
I can never get, because we had problems with pronouncing the director's name of the film. So we went on YouTube.
Oh, Akhaman, yeah.
Akhaman. But we went on YouTube, and this is what we got. That's what we got. If you YouTube how to pronounce her name. That's what you get. Unbelievable.
That's horrible, yeah.
Is that how you've been pronouncing it around set?
A wonderful place to get information.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great. I mean, like, being a part of the film was like amazing. I think everybody made it like really great, because we're all in like rural New York, so like there was really not much to do besides just like, I guess, hang out with like the cast and everybody. But like, yeah, it was really intense. We shot in this like tiny little German resort where every weekend like the town of like 50 people would like gather together and like have a polka like concert. Really interesting. Learned about German culture, so that was pretty cool.
Is that what it's about, then? It's set in Germany.
Yeah, it's set in Germany in 1942, and like the film takes place in the 80s, and it's like based after this novel about a young woman who is unfortunately taken to a gay conversion camp, where she's kind of terrorized by all sorts of
Oh my god.
Psychological horrors. And, you know, I play like this comic relief character who kind of becomes her friend, and then we all, you know, like me, my friend who's played by Sasha Lane and Chloe's character, kind of band up and have this sort of Breakfast Club-y type friendship. And it's really, you know, it's like a dark film, but it's also like pretty light and fun.
And the grand, it does sound quite heavy, but obviously you're the comic relief. The Sundance gave it the Grand Jury Prize. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that means
did.
You've been in a Sundance Grand Jury Prize film and an Oscar. I don't think Revenant won, but it was nominated. You've got that's pretty good streak for someone that's just 19.
Yeah, no, it's been really. I've been really fortunate to work with like just really amazing artists, I think, and yeah, it's been really good.
And this, I think, this podcast is probably going to win an award, so you'll be able to add that to add that to it, radio show podcast.
And what's the film you're going to shoot in Montreal?
So I'm going to be shooting this film with this director, Jeff Barnaby, who...
Hang on, let me see if I can pronounce that, Jeff. Let's see if I can...
Jeff
Barnaby, yeah. That's it. And it's a zombie flick, and it's going to be like a pretty fun film.
Okay, sweet. So we brought you on here, actually, to discuss the three films you hate the most. Now, obviously, we understand you have to be careful because you don't want to go slagging off people and then you won't be able to work with them in the future. But there are films that perhaps just annoy you for whatever reason. What have you got?
I just watched recently a film by Andrei Tarkovsky, which was called The Sacrifice.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know. Are you familiar with Tarkovsky's work?
Right? I'm not. I don't know.
Okay, but anyway, I don't know. It's just a film that, like I love his other work, but I don't know.
What was it? What was the problem?
It just was a film that, it just, he likes long takes. Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It just kind of goes on, and it's kind of like... really, really is into itself. But yeah, so that film, I never liked romantic comedies.
What?
So
you're dead inside.
Like,
how can you not like a rom-com?
I don't know. Like, I think your guys is, because in the UK, do you guys like Love Actually? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I love Love Actually. I love.
Anything Richard
You're
Curtis.
Cold. I tell you what, there's no way that
it's
you're allowed
bad.
To have sex with Gosling now. No way. Because I don't want it to be empty sex. I want it to be loving sex. And now you're, forget it. No. Okay, so you don't like rom-coms. Which rom-com in particular?
I think my mom, when I was like really young, made me watch About a Boy all the time.
That's one of my favourite films! I can't believe that it's got Hugh Grant in it.
Hugh Grant is the best actor ever.
Is it because we're English that we're just obsessed with Hugh Grant and you're like, what's the big deal?
I don't know. I mean, like, I watched Love, Simon recently and like it was pretty cool, but
do you like Notting Hill?
I can't really get into romantic comedies. I don't know.
I get it. You're dead inside. We understand.
I think I'm dead inside.
Yeah.
I think I only like really sad, depressing, deep philosophical films.
Okay. Got you.
When people are happy, I just can't connect with the characters.
Yeah.
I think, About a Boy and, like...
I can't believe this.
Love Actually?
All right. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm upset.
That's bad. I can't say that in the UK because I feel like everybody will just be after me.
Maybe with About a Boy you'll be okay, but Love Actually, I think people love Love Actually,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, really do.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, we'll forgive you. Thank you so much for coming up on the show, Forrest, and good luck with the film. I hope it's a great success.
Yeah, thank you.
The song that he chose is Blue Monday. Now, I don't think he knew it was from a film, but it is, in fact, from Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
That's the song to go out on. Enjoy that?
Yeah, lovely.
You're laughing at my interviewing? You just get to sit there doing nothing. You're laughing when he's on the show. He doesn't know that you're not laughing at him.
Yes, I think that's good, though.
It's like when I go, yeah, Mark likes that, and then you just go... It's like, he doesn't know what's
well,
going on there.
You should have made the joke then.
I'm sweating. That was the most awkward 10 minutes of my life.
That's
Look at
brilliant.
The sweat. Look at
Mate,
the sweat.
Because that was a nice bloke.
That's unbelievable. He was a nice bloke.
I tell you what, he sounds like German Rob. He could be German Rob.
German Rob is a feature from our sister show, Newsish.
He's got the same voice.
Yeah. Right, well, look, that was Forrest. Good luck. Go and check him out in The Miseducation of Cameron Post or see him. He's the young, if you don't remember him, he's the young boy. This might be a spoiler.
Spoiler!
Gets killed off. I was probably too quick. there you go. So, you've been listening to the Filmish Show. I'm, of course, Sean Walsh, joined, as always, by Mark Simmons.
Make sure you retweet, subscribe, and, you know... to get messages on Twitter. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, that's it. Cut. That was the film.